This is Morning Wake Up Call on WNRN. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The Wake Up Call is also brought to you by The Hoof, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And welcome to everybody. Thank you for being here with us today. And muchas gracias for making your pledges last Sunday. For the whole station, Bluegrass, I know, was very excited. The boys at Les Temps Purdue did quite well. But as always, thank you so much for those who supported us on the Wake Up Call. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, we also need to take a moment and thank them. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road here in Charlottesville, and they have three locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. And those of you listening on Lynchburg's 89.9 get a special shout-out today. All right, our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price. Dr. Price?
Hello, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in and being with us. Although, you know, it's not really the greatest day. It's not like you're going to go play a round of golf, are you?
Hopefully it won't rain. It's only a 10% chance, right?
Right. 10% chance. I was watching that Yankees game on Friday night, which they called after an inning and a half, because there was only supposed to be a light chance of rain when the game started, and of course it poured, and they had to postpone the rest of it until much later, until Saturday. Hopefully everyone will get to enjoy things that they love today, which starts with our conversation. Dr. Daniel Price, founder of the organization FACE Project, Functional Approach to Character Education, something for the school system, correct?
Correct. That we feel that it's important to teach character education, not just English and math and arithmetic, that reading, that it's important to teach kids from the early on to be respectful and caring and teach tolerance and understanding, so that things like what happened at Columbine won't happen, or things that happen like in our political system where people aren't always as honest as they could be, would stop if we started teaching kids from really an early age how to be, how to have good character.
Well, I found the FACE Project through an op-ed article back at the end of August here in our Daily Progress newspaper. One of the questions that jumped immediately to mind from your article: have we put academic achievement ahead of teaching respect and trustworthiness?
Well, I think that, that's obvious that we teach, math and reading are really important, and that they really get a huge emphasis with the SOLs and the No Child Left Behind rules. But obviously it's important also to teach kids how to help them with their social, emotional development, teaching them how to get along with one another, how to care about each other, how to be respectful to their teachers and to each other. And so character education is a broad way of helping people develop, not just intellectually, but socially and emotionally.
Well, two-part follow-up to that is, why is it important for the character education, and how did we drop that and put academic achievement so far in front of moral and character education that it's, for many places, not taught at all?
Okay, I'll try to answer that second question first, and then maybe you can re-ask the first question. But I think that in the 50s and 60s, the separation of church and state became a bigger issue in academia, and teachers started getting questioned about when they brought in their religion to the classroom. So they were told, not to talk about religion anymore in the classroom. And I think that went to the point where teachers were afraid to talk about even morality or good and bad and honest and respect and responsibility and things like that. So it kind of went too far, swung too far away from that. They even used to have reading books, the McGuffey readers, which come from, you know, Charlottesville. And the McGuffey readers had religious tones to them and character lessons in them. But then we switched to Dick and Jane books, which were a lot more... that kept all that out. So I think it was the separation of church and state just went so far that they started dropping out morality from the schools.
Again, our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price, he's the founder of a Charlottesville organization called FACE, the FACE Project, Functional Approach to Character Education. And we're talking about character education and morals and the importance of that being taught in today's school system. The follow-up question to that, Dr. Price, is why is character education even important if it's dropped behind, so far behind teaching, you know, traditional academics like reading, science, mathematics? Then why is it important to have character education in the school system?
Well, I think like President Roosevelt said, that if you teach people to be smart, but you don't teach them to be good, that you're raising menaces to society. And that, so it's important to not just teach people to be smart, but also to have the character and integrity to use that intelligence for the common good.
You mentioned when we were talking about just a question or two ago about character education, you mentioned that it sort of faded away in the 50s and 60s because teachers were bringing religious aspects into the classroom and people wanted that removed. Can you teach character and morals without bringing in a religious aspect?
Yes, I definitely believe you can teach kids to be honest without bringing in religion. Like some of our lessons, you know, talk about like the boy who cried wolf. So that's a story that isn't religious, but it does teach a lesson that, yeah, it's important to be honest. And we have actually a weekly lesson for every week of the school year from preschool through fifth grade. And then we also are in the process of developing a middle school and high school curriculum. But in those weekly lessons, the topics are respect, responsibility, trustworthiness, caring, kindness, empathy, tolerance, and things. So all these are kind of basic understandings that as adults we know what they mean. But as kids, it's good to learn those things in case they didn't get a solid character education in their childhood. And I know most parents and most teachers are wonderful, great, fantastic, do a beautiful job raising their kids with excellent character. But there sometimes are holes in people's social world or environment, and teachers and parents. And so it's good to have this kind of support in the schools to kind of make sure that those holes are filled so that kids do get that foundation of character development from the schools where they spend, you know, 5 or 6 hours, 6 or 7 hours a day of their childhood.
Dr. Price, tell us a little bit more about the FACE Project. Again, it's the Functional Approach to Character Education. I'd like to know, with you as the founder, how the project itself came about. Was there a break point that made you say, we need to do this and we need to have this? And then how you brought it together and what its sort of mission is.
Okay. Well, the first course I took in college at the University of California, Santa Cruz, when I went there for a semester, was my idea of planning. And so in that class, we were supposed to plan anything that we wanted to. So my plan was to use education as a way to help people learn to be good people, and bringing all the information from the social sciences and any other area that would be helpful from the technology education to be able to teach kids how to be good. And that was my first paper back when I was like 17 or 18. And actually that a paper evolved to be about a 250-page dissertation by the time I graduated with my doctorate degree. And so that paper kind of sat quiet for a while, and then I was actually talking to Emily Couric, our former senator, and she was saying, we were talking about what happened in Columbine, and she was saying, you know, by the way, did you know the state legislature in Virginia just passed Senate Bill 817, this was in 1999, that mandates character education be taught in all the schools in Virginia. And so I said, well, wow, that sounds like what I wrote about in my dissertation. So that was when I started the nonprofit organization. And so since then, we've been working to get this program into the schools.
You mentioned that Virginia has a mandate to teach character education. Can you talk more about that? Because, I have no children, but I have a sister who teaches elementary school, and that's news to me that there's a mandate for that type of topic in the school system.
Well, I think that the state legislature mandated that as a reaction to what happened in Columbine when those kids were some children shot other children in a high school in Colorado. And it wasn't just Virginia, but a number of other states passed a similar measure that said that character education needed to be taught in all the schools because they found that those children that shot those other children were actually ostracized by the other kids in school. They were bullied. They were pushed aside. They were kind of outliers. And it was felt in the social science education community that if we would have pulled those kids into the mainstream, the other kids kind of help bring them in. If they had more friends, more involvement in the school activities, then that wouldn't have happened. And so the character education was to try to teach kids, like what the FACE Project does from early age, how to be a good friend to everybody in your classroom. And if you see somebody that's outlying in the classroom, that's not sitting all alone in the playground or in the lunchroom, that you go over there to them and talk to them and pull them in and try to make them part of the larger group. And so the Virginia legislature and their wisdom decided, yeah, that's important. We're going to pass a law that supports that. And they didn't, unfortunately, like a lot of legislations, it was sort of, didn't follow, a lot of money didn't follow with it. There was maybe $1 million that they used to develop a three-ring binder that had character education lessons in it. But that was about the extent of the money that the legislature spent on character education at the time. There is, I know, at least one employee that works on character education at the state level. But it's kind of what they call unfunded mandate.
So the mandate says, yeah, that's a good idea. Now, thank you for figuring out how you want to do that.
Right. And a lot of schools, at the FACE Project, we did a survey to all the many schools as we could fax it to in the state. And they came back and they said, oh, yeah, I guess we are supposed to be doing character education. And, yes, we are doing it. And a lot of them bought this program called Character Counts, which is out of California. And it has comes with a box with posters in it and with ideas about having meetings to develop your own character education for your particular school or school system. And it's a good program, I think, if you really have the time to and the energy to do all the meetings with the parents and the teachers and the community stakeholders. But it's a difficult program to really reinvent character education in every school and every community. So the FACE Project, our program, it's sort of all packaged and ready to go. We have all the lessons written by teachers for teachers. And so it's kind of a lot easier thing to initiate in a school and get going. And it really includes, you know, everyone, including things home to parents to get them involved. So I think the FACE Project is trying to meet that mission from that state mandate, which I think was a good mission, and we're still, you know, in the process of trying to make that work.
11:16 on the wake-up call with our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price. He's the founder of the FACE Project. That's a functional approach to character education, a group that's reminding everyone that character and morals are an important part of life and need to be included with the academic side of a day at school. You're welcome to call up with your question or comment, 979-0919. That's 979-0919. If you're a little further away from the station and the phone immediately lights up, a toll-free number if you need it, 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Sean is around here checking out the phone, which is lit up right now. Dr. Price, again, Dr. Daniel Price from the FACE Project. So we have a mandate from the state of Virginia about how important character and morals are. But the mandate ends up being a three-ring binder that is sent to each school, I suppose. And is there any setup where they say, this is what we'll focus on, do these, talk about these topics, but not these topics? You know, these are a little too iffy to get into because of different cultures or parents' acceptance, etc.
You know, we really haven't run across that, where people feel like things that we're teaching aren't appropriate or that they disagree with them, because we're really teaching kind of core values: respect, responsibility, caring, kindness, empathy, tolerance. So they were not really running across trouble and with helping kids learn.
Yeah, but I would think, I'll get back to this in a second when I take this phone call, but I would think that different cultures, different families, different parents might have different ideas about what some of those things are defined as, but we'll get back to that. Let me take this call from Susan in Nelson County. Hey, Susan, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Rick and Mr. Price, Dr. Price.
Good morning.
Question or comment on the topic?
Well, I'm a teacher from middle school up through college, and I work with a lot of non-traditional students. And I'm all for promoting positive moral and character development along with the classwork. But I really have to say, I think it starts at home with the parents. And I would hope whatever's in the three-ring binder, basic respect and etiquette and respect for your elders and treating people with kindness and love, I would hope that would cross all cultures. And many times I see that parents become upset because they feel like the school isn't teaching their teenager how to say please and thank you. So I think it starts at home, and it can easily be incorporated into every lesson in the schoolroom.
Susan, you teach all grade levels, you said.
I do.
So have you found that people can learn this? If you have a student who is a middle school student, can you teach it to the middle school student who might not have learned it at a younger age? Can a college student learn this later in life?
I think the sooner you can reach them, middle school students seem to be more receptive to adults still, and it's easier to teach them kindness, and maybe they're a little more innocent, and they, you know, if you can teach them the golden rule, treat others how you want to be treated, and, you know, teach them what goes around comes around, I think they can understand that. I think when I get to, like, the college level, I see some 20, 30, even 40-year-olds, and I'm almost 50, that I cannot believe what some of them have said to me, and, like, I cannot believe the words that come out of their mouth in a school setting. And I don't know if you can teach. It's like the older they get, it's almost an ingrained behavior. But I don't know, you know. I would hope everyone would be reachable.
All right, Susan, thank you very much for getting us started with the calls today.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, Susan.
Dr. Price, follow up on that?
Yeah, I think Susan made some excellent points. that I think character education, like she said, is important to be in the home and the school, but actually it's important to be everywhere. Even when you're in the grocery store, you want to treat the checkout person with respect and dignity and kindness and, you know, like she said, thank you, you're welcome, please. It's something that could go on everywhere. So I think not just at home, but in the schools and in public, that it is a universal thing, like you said. And one of our lessons that we reach, you know, that's taught in preschool all the way through fifth grade is the golden rule. And at the preschool level, we teach it, you know, at a lower developmental level that they can understand up to the more complicated parts of that when they're in fifth grade. And in our middle school lessons are more of a project-oriented, where the kids do projects, go out to a nursing home, or work on a community garden, or go to the town council meeting and learn about the laws, or write a law and follow it through, or change the school handbook, and things to make them more actively involved in the community, making the community a better place.
All right, again, our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price, founder of the FACE Project. That's the Functional Approach to Character Education. We're talking about teaching character and morals in the school system. Dial us up with your question or comment. Thank you, Susan, for participating early on. That's 979-0919. And toll free, it's 1-877-967-6762. That's 877-WNRN-ROCKS, Dr. Daniel Price. Let me give you the markets of Tiger Fuel weather forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's mostly cloudy today, 20% chance of rain, and highs in the mid-50s. Then it's mostly cloudy tonight, 40% chance of rain in the low 40s. Upper 30s in the valley. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 70% chance of rain. Highs in the upper 50s. A little warmer in Lynchburg and Richmond. Right now, it's cloudy out there. 46 in the valley, 51 in Lynchburg, 53 in Richmond, and 51 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from The Backyard, UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu, they have daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. The Backyard now open on Sundays. They serve brunch and then a pub food menu until close. For more information, you can call them 434-202-8215. Find them at thebackyarduva.com and, of course, a Facebook page. Again, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Questions or comments for our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price from the FACE Project. Dr. Price, is there difficulty in teaching specific character issue over than others? Can you teach integrity to an elementary school student easier than you can teach empathy?
Well, I think, like our previous caller, Susan, suggested, younger children seem to absorb character lessons like sponges. You know, they really respond positively to them, and it's really not difficult. When kids get older and they haven't had the character education at all, then they can be kind of resistant to it. When you older kids, may be too cool or not cool enough to talk about some of these things. So sometimes you know teachers can run across resistance if we try to teach below their grade level or even above their grade level. So it's important, you know, if we meet the kids where they're at, it can be, you know, very effective. And the research has backed that up, that the research the FACE Project has done and then research done by the government as well really supports the effectiveness of character education. Not only does it improve school performance, actually, and it decreases bullying decreases school violence, improves a sense of community in the school. So it improves the behavior in the school, classroom management, which is really a big deal nowadays. So character education is really like a win-win proposition, even though it does take a little bit of time out of the day to have a specific lesson that lasts, you know, half hour on character education once a week. And then you try to interweave it with the teachers, try to interweave it with their lessons on reading and history and things, where they can find ways to kind of, oh, yeah, well, that, you know, Paul Revere, he was really brave to do what he did, or he was... It had a lot of integrity to take those risks in order to help other people. So,
Is school even the place to do this? I mean, when we talk about the wide variety of home beliefs, the incredible amount of changes in how one parent or parental group raises another family down the street, is putting all this in one building the place to do this? I mean, you can choose to send your children to church or not. You can choose to send your kids to the Boys and Girls Club, or choose to send your kids to the Boy Scouts or some other organization that might... where you can pick out whether or not you want your kids to go there and learn this type of character education. But I can't choose whether or not to send my kids to school unless I choose to teach them at home, which I can't do because I have a job, or I can't afford, don't have the finances to send them to a private school. So not being able to choose an option out, is school the right place for this?
Well, I would say definitely yes, not just school, but home and the grocery store and every place else, that it's important to teach people to be good and to be better. And it's called character development. It's about helping people develop their abilities cognitively, emotionally, and behaviorally to improve themselves. There's, the foremost cognitive theory about moral development is by Kohlberg, and Kohlberg says that, you know, people start off only thinking about themselves, and then after, if they get a little bit older, they can think about how they're impacted by their environment, and then they get a little bit more developed, and they want to really be good and influencing in a positive way. And so they go through stages where they develop greater and greater understanding of themselves and the world around them, to the point where the highest stage of development would be like, you'd be like Martin Luther King or Gandhi, where you're actually really living in a way that's all about making the whole world better, not just focused on yourself or smaller aspects of mankind, but the broader and broader circles of understanding. So cognitive development and morality is about growing and understanding having a broader understanding of what it means to be good and to act in a good way. And then there's an emotional part of development too, that's about caring, that, you know, people are moral because they care about other people. They want to act in a way that's good because they don't want to hurt others, they want to help others, they want to be good people. And so people act not just because they understand, they think in moral ways, but also because they care, they feel that they want to act in good ways and in moral ways. And then the FACE project, we learned that this research has said, well, just because somebody thinks or feels in moral ways doesn't mean necessarily they act that way. And so our initiative is really to focus on the behavior, that we want people not only to think and feel in moral ways, but we need them to act that way in order to improve themselves and the people and community around them.
11:29 on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price, founder of the FACE Project, Functional Approach to Character Education. That's teaching morals and character belief and behavior in the public school system. Call us up with your question or comment. That's 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dr. Price, so I agree that the school system is an appropriate place to learn character. I understand the system that the FACE project has created. But I have a different definition for respect. What happens then? You know, I come from a different culture or a different background where your definition of respect and how it's taught doesn't match up with mine. In my life, the respect that you're asking me to give is nothing more than being asked to stay at the economic level that I'm at. You're not asking me to be respectful. You're asking me to do the dirty work and just accept, you know, what's there. Is there, you know, what do you do when you try and put the FACE project's definition into areas where the definition might be considered different?
Well, Rick, like I said, you know, we haven't run across that. But, you know, our ideas of respect about, you know, being respectful to others, not hitting them or picking on them or insulting them and trying to help them, trying to lift them up. We haven't run into people that disagree that that's not a good thing. So it's surprising that people already have a sense of what good is and what works. I guess if you go back to the Plato, you know, he was like, can virtue be taught? And he was saying, well, everybody already has kind of that virtue inside them, and it's just a calling out of what they already have inside them. I don't know if I buy that completely, but I do think, you know, thousands of years ago, they already thought that there was sort of this universal understanding of what it means to be moral, be good. And then Aristotle came along a little bit later, and he said, well, no, we got to teach people good habits. And once they learn that good habits work, you know, if you act good to other people, they act the same to you, the golden rule, that it kind of works that way. So that's what we're finding, is that, you know, if we help people learn how to be more effective socially and emotionally, that they're more effective and it works for them, and that works for their families and the people around them, and it's just an effective way to grow as a person. So it's good to learn how to read and write, but it's also good how to grow socially and emotionally as an individual.
I ran across this phrase. I don't know whether I read it, whether I heard it in the last week or so. And thanks, the phone line's ringing now. You are a product of the society in which you grow. So if someone grows in a society, whether that's a family, a neighborhood, a country, in which character is forgotten, how much more difficult is that to bring the FACE project there, or have them come to the FACE project? And we talked about that it's easier for elementary school kids and how they are a sponge in learning these things. But there must be the difficult student because of the family background, and that is the society in which they grow on that minuscule size. Can the FACE project be taken to another country, which is the society in which that person or those people grow?
Yes, I understand.
Plato and Aristotle, but...
Well, I understand what you're saying. Well, I think, like, if we bring it to more of a local level, we could say, hey, someone is, maybe they're not getting enough attention at home, or they're kind of getting hurt at home. They're getting spanked, or they're coming to school hungry, angry, mad. And then the school, you know, is a place where all of a sudden, oh, kids are reaching out to them. Hey, will you be my friend? Hey, what's going on? Can I help you? The teachers are more aware of what's going on emotionally with their students, so they might send the student to the guidance counselor. And so that's the kind of stuff that is happening in character education, even in the local community here in Albemarle County and Charlottesville schools, that they do have character education programs where they're teaching teachers to be more tuned into what's going on with these kids and how to intervene in a way that's going to help them and be effective with them. So the FACE project is about kind of filling those gaps. If you're not getting your basic needs of a sense of belonging and a sense of safety at home, then you can get them met at school. It's not where the ideal place for them. It'd be nice if they felt safe at home and that they had a sense of belonging there. But if they're not able to get that at home, which I'm sure all of our listeners are doing great at providing that for their kids, but there are those kind of outliers where the kids aren't getting that, then the school can be a place that can be real healing if the teachers and the students have the skills to help one another and themselves grow.
You talked about taking away time from, you know, the reading and writing and science. Tell me, how does the FACE project work? I mean, you're already in several schools, right? The op-ed piece that I read, sort of, it's somewhere in here, it thanks Stanton City and Augusta County. So I'm assuming that those school systems are using the FACE project as it is set up and are integrating it into their day. So if my kid is going to Stanton City Schools or Augusta County Schools, how is the FACE project built into the system?
Well, the students there are getting, their guidance counselors are coming into their classes once every 5 to 10 days doing a FACE lesson, and that from our curriculum. And the teachers in Augusta County Schools, also, we have a curriculum for guidance counselors, and then we have another one for all the teachers at the grade level. And the teachers in Augusta County also have our curriculum books for students, so they're also doing lessons. And then the lessons also have an extension. So at the end of the lesson, it talks about how you can integrate the lesson, not just to that 30, 45-minute amount of time you spend with the students once a week, but to all the ideas and courses, knowledge that they're getting throughout the week.
All right, we have a call. It says, how can kids who may not feel safe and secure at home be expected to learn kindness and respect at school?
All right, well, that's a good question, and I believe that if it's very unfortunate if kids aren't feeling safe and secure at home, and it would be important maybe to for the community to recognize that and provide some resources or services to help that family and that kid feel safe and secure. And while that's going on, the school can also be a safe place. So if a part of group development is that if one person feels at least they have like at least one other friend to connect with, they're going to feel safer, they're going to feel more involved. And if they feel like the whole classroom is like got their back, then that's, you know, really powerful. So maybe at home they don't feel safe, but then they go to a school and maybe not even the whole classroom, but the whole school has each other's back.
But you have to sort of reach out and convince. I mean, and I don't mean to, I'm not demeaning this situation at all, but my experience, it's almost like a dog. The dog, when you go to the SPCA, when you bring a new dog into your life who has been tortured, the trust there doesn't happen immediately. You have to work for a long time period to convince the dog that you're not going to tie it up in the yard on a 3-foot length of chain and leave him there all the time. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to punish the dog unfairly and needlessly because you're having a bad day and in a bad mood. You have to, trust doesn't change when you walk out of the house and into the school. So are the teachers you talk about, you all talk about also working with the teachers. Are the teachers trained to spot this behavior and work more closely with that child? Are the teachers or the counselors trained to, for the kid who's by himself, are they somehow shown how to create the friendship so that they can get one child to walk over to the next so that the child who is upset and feeling, you know, concerned, does now have a friend and feels the friendship?
Yeah, definitely. That a lot of lessons are geared just to that, and through the lessons and through the teacher training, that's true, that they are getting those skills to make that happen. Besides, the initial part of a group development is having that one, at least one friend. There's also a stage where it comes to be a problem, scapegoat stage, where kids in group development can often get to a point where a kid that's different, maybe they have different color hair, or they have different color skin, or they have different kinds of mannerisms, or a different size physique, and they can get other kids like, oh, I'm uncomfortable with that kid. They seem
different.
We all
know kids can be very cruel, especially mm-hmm. in the school system.
So they, you know, it's almost a normal reaction if somebody's really different than yourself to kind of feel a little weird and uncomfortable about that. But our lessons are geared to being, try to say, well, hey, this is a good thing. Diversity is good. Differences are good. It's something that we can celebrate. So we have a lot of lessons about maybe everybody brings in different kinds of food from different cultures, or they talk about how who has blue eyes and who has brown eyes, and is it okay to be different and things like that. So the kids learn a lot about diversity and their own feelings about it, and to be able to be more calm with that. But then there's also the thing about the scapegoating, is the solution of the scapegoat dilemma is that it's okay to be different. So we have teachers teaching these kids, getting them understanding these dilemmas, and then helping them with that solution. And that when the teacher finally says, you know, that's okay that person is loud. It's kind of nice to have different types of voices in our classroom or whatever. And then all of a sudden, everybody just goes, oh, this is such a comfortable place to be. It's safe because it's okay to be different. So that's part of the lessons are geared toward that, and to help the teachers learn how to do that is also in those lessons.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. 11:43 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price. He's the founder of the FACE Project, as we talk about teaching morals and appropriate character in the public school system. Dial us up with your question, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, this week, in their first season, Charlottesville's new semi-pro football team racked up a winning record. But the coaches and players say the victories aren't the sweetest part of fulfilling a lifelong dream. And when UVA's managing board for the Cavalier Daily newspaper discovered a plagiarist on staff, they turned the offending writer over to the honor committee. But when an editorial informing the readers was published, the same board was brought before the school's judiciary committee. Confidentiality or censorship? The Hook, it's a great price because it's free every Thursday. And let's thank Dixon Disposal for their support. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. 978-2111, DixonDisposal.com. And let me tell you about L. Oppelman's. They are Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department now features acoustic guitars, banjos, mandolins, as well as electric guitar packages. And they also have complete drum sets. That's L. Oppelman, 909 Main Street in Lynchburg. Online, it's loppelman.com. All right, back with our guest today, Dr. Daniel Price. Dr. Price, we got a call from someone who's listening online. And back to early in the hour, we speak of the 50s and 60s, but schools also promoted racism then. Just how good was the McGuffey reader actually looked at with today's understanding? So I guess we talked about kids mm-hmm. using the McGuffey reader earlier and then switching to the Dick and Jane books. And you seem to believe that that was a loss, that the McGuffey reader was a better use for character education, correct?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it was better. I guess it would be kind of old-fashioned if it was used today. But I think what happened was, and I'm all for the separation of church and state. I think that's very important. Thank goodness Thomas Jefferson was able to do what he did. But I do think it went too far, you know, that it got to the point where we had, you know, it's okay, it's good not to bring different religions into the classroom unless you're going to talk about them all, because you don't want to just say, oh, well, just believe in this religion because this is right and the other ones aren't right. I don't think that would be okay. But I do think they went too far when they took they threw morality out of the classroom when they were pushing the religion completely out.
All right, you can call up with your question or comment, 979-0919 and 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, as we talk about character education in the school system and the FACE Project. And you can go online, right? It's thefaceproject.org. Correct. All right. So go online and do your own homework. If you have more questions, comments, we'll be recording this to be put the podcast online. You can find it if you're joining us late. Find the entire conversation at SeavillePodcast.com. Dr. Price, they're also part of the FACE Project is community service projects. Correct.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're in the process of trying to partner with a middle school to help us develop more community service projects to as part of the character education program in schools, and that we would help the students and the teachers in the particular school develop those service projects in the community. We had a summer program that we did this past summer where the kids did like plant some bushes and flowers and stuff around Murray Elementary, where they were nice enough to let us use their program working with some at-risk kids and the Empowering Families program. So, you know, kids getting that experience to get out in the community and make a difference, it's really a good feeling for them. And again, it's like that win-win thing. They go out and do that. It makes them feel good. It helps the people in the community. So it's a win-win thing. That's what character education is about. If you spend the time in the school learning it and teaching it and developing and making it important, then the payoffs are coming many different ways, with academic improvement, better behavior, a better mood, better, you know, feels good to go to school every day. When you go to school where they believe that character education is important.
Again, I've given out the phone numbers. You can also send us an instant message, WNRN Studio on the AOL instant message scene. And this one comes from Blueberry 24. I love that. Dr. Price, what research proves this methodology true? So do you have any sort of background research that says, yes, character education in the school system actually works in improving students' character behavior?
Yes, there's more and more research gathered all the time that continues to support that. The FACE Project, we did a survey around Virginia schools, and we found that 95% of the people that answered our surveys, teachers, said that character education really helps in their classroom. But there's been studies by the federal government, the CDI, they did studies, you know, really kind of hardcore research studies where they found that, and they tested lots of programs similar to the FACE Project, and they found that they all made positive changes. They all were effective. Some were more effective than the others. But ours being such a comprehensive one that covers all these lessons and the teachers and the parents' involvement were the ones that were most effective.
11:50 here on the wake-up call. Let me take a moment and thank the folks at Blue Ridge Graphics for their support. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear. They also have promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 434-296-9746. Online, it's BRG T-shirts. LesTempsCoach.com. And not that you would go anywhere, but make sure to hang out for Les Temps Purdue with Drew Thompson at noon. He has the best of 80s and 90s alternative music with bands like REM, The Feelies, and Pet Shop Boys. Brought to you in part by Caliente, and he always welcomes your request. Dr. Price, sort of the opposite question to the one we got from Blueberry. Has there been an increase in antisocial behavior? I mean, we mentioned bullying at some point during the hour.
Right, I was looking up the, some statistics this morning. They said violent crime, 10 years ago, there was about 40 per 1,000 students, 40 victims of violent crime per 1,000 students. And now it's down to 20, so it's been, you know, getting better since character education has been more part of the school systems. But it's still 20 violent crimes out of 1,000 students. That's a you know, scary number to me. You know, if your kid goes to elementary school with 333 students, that means, what, 6 or 7 of them are going to actually be a victim of violent crime. So that's still, you know, problematic. Now, the yearly homicides have gone down in schools, but they're still occurring, so that's still tragic. School bullying, you know, depending on the age group, but it looks like from 23% to 43% of students still are saying that they're being bullied. So that's a huge number. And so it is something that, you know, we definitely need to continue to work on, but there has been an improvement over the last decade.
For those of you who can do this online or actually subscribe to New York Times Sunday, the New York Times Magazine from a couple weeks ago. Okay, here it is. September 18th, the New York Times Magazine. The majority of this is devoted to school system. What if the secret to success is failure? One of the major articles in here is called The Character Test and Why Our Kids' Success and Happiness May Depend Less on Perfect Performance than on Learning How to Deal with Failure. There's a big part of that is about character. An interesting addition to our conversation today with Dr. Daniel Price. If you have a chance, look that up. A lot of what we've discussed falls into that article and some things that we're just not able to get to within our hour. It is 11:53. Dr. Price, and there goes the phone line, somebody wanting to get in before the hour is up. Dr. Price, I loved when I was reading the op-ed in the Daily Progress from late August, there was some conversation in there about television, reality TV versus TV shows from the past that used to have more proper characters in them.
Right, that's true. You could see that our society has become a little more in the media, more broad in a lot of ways. But has it gotten to the point where it's too broad where parents are maybe letting their kids watch shows that maybe are reality shows that being lying and sneaky is actually where you win the prize? So I think it's important that you know, parents continue to monitor their kids depending on, you know, the age, of course, and what would be appropriate for them. But I do believe in the rating system. You know, if it says, hey, this show is for kids over 14, then maybe if your kid's not 14, they shouldn't be watching that.
Still, you know, it used to be, and again, it makes me feel so old to say stuff like this. It used to be that the shows that were on at 8 o'clock and 8:30 were family shows. And since we put this program together for you to come on, I was watching something just in the last week or two where both the 8 o'clock show on a weekday and the 8:30 show on a weekday, back-to-back, had jokes about masturbation. And I was thinking to myself, good thing I don't have an 8-year-old and have to explain that joke to them. I don't know. And it just seemed, again, it makes me feel so old. I don't have any kids, and so I just kind of laughed about it. But
I think parent supervision is just really important, and just, you know, not letting your kids just do whatever, but actually being involved with them and what they're watching and what they're listening to is important.
And then again, we are talking about that at 11:55 on a Sunday. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, and we have a call from Carmen in North Garden. Hey, Carmen.
Hi.
Question, comment, Dr. Price?
I do. I have a little of both, actually. I just wanted to say that it's interesting he's on your show because I've just been looking into the FACE project a lot more recently. I'm actually a master's student in education right now, in experiential education, and a lot of the work I've been doing has sort of been centered on what experiential education provides that the traditional education model doesn't, and a lot of that is really morality education and values and social skills that aren't taught in the classroom. And I was just wondering if, a lot of the experiential education models that exist right now are really adventure-based programming, and I'm wondering if he's looked into any of those models to incorporate just any of the principles or kind of the methodology from them, or if it's possible at all that he could or does get the children out to do any sort of adventure activities, like maybe at the ropes course at CCC camp, or if that's an option, or kind of his thoughts on that.
All right, hang on the line, Carmen. Go ahead, Dr. Price.
Yeah, well, I think that would be great. It's just a cost prohibitive, I think, to have everybody in the school do a ropes course, but I think it's great for group building and self-esteem, and those are great programs, and I would really encourage schools to participate in them as part of their character development. But there are things you can do kind of simpler in the classroom and in the playground, but you make a really good point. I think that, yeah, those programs are excellent, and we'd love to have the resources to really make the schools be able to use those kind of programs as well.
Carmen, quick follow-up question from me is, you know, the FACE project, obviously it fascinates me, which is why Dr. Price is here today. Have you found any other, I believe you used the word, what did you say? It started with an E, experiential, see, now I can't even pronounce it.
Experiential.
Thank you. Experiential.
Yeah.
Have you found any other formats or systems for the education system that also might help with character and morals?
Well, I think, and Dr. Price did touch on this and say they're really working to incorporate more of this. I mean, service learning is a huge, that is experiential education, getting the kids out there and doing some sort of active service project and then reflecting on that, you know, why they're doing that, what's important about it, what values it represents. I think that's a huge model that's really being much more and more incorporated. And then there's a lot of ways that you can incorporate experiential education, and I think probably some, a lot or most of his curriculum is doing that. It's just it's a really active learning more than just reading about things and being taught or told about things. So I'm excited to be studying it and see it being more present in the school system, and maybe have a bit of a wider definition than just what most people think of as outdoor education or adventure education and that type of education. I'd really like to see how it can be incorporated a lot more into the classroom and into the traditional school system.
All right, Carmen, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, last little bit here with Dr. Price. Again, you can go online to thefaceproject.org. You can look up the whole hour here on SeavillePodcast.com. Dr. Price, the things that you and Carmen were discussing, the rope course, putting the kids out there to community service work, much of that, especially the community service work, is done in the private school sector. Are the things that the public school system can copy from the private schools that would work?
Well, I think there's a lot of excellent private schools, but our public schools in Central Virginia are also excellent, and they do service learning. I believe even in Albemarle County, the middle school and the high schoolers have to do some service learning project as part of their work that they're doing. So, I think that it's changing slowly, that character education is becoming more prevalent in the schools. I remember I saw Bill Gates on the TV a year or so ago saying, you know, schools are just slow to change. You know, he throws billions of dollars at schools to try to help improve graduation rates, and it's just been a really hard road for him. And, you know, for an agency like ours, we're really happy that we're being able to make a difference a little bit at a time, you know, in small steps, trying to get schools to make this change, to really have character education in the classroom, in the guidance, with the guidance teachers, every day integrated with the standards of learning, so that these kids are really learning how to develop not just intellectually, but socially and emotionally.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Price, for being here today.
Well, thank you, Rick, for having me.
Our hour is up. Drew Thompson next up with Les Temps-Perdue. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about Alzheimer's and some of the new medical approaches with Alzheimer's. Thank you, everybody.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.